It's again a wonderful privilege for me to be able to bring God's word today, and we really thank the Lord that we have welcomed 2025 with God's faithfulness. And I do hope that everyone who's here feel the same. And that as we dive into God's word today, we will see His hand in our lives. I know this psalm that we read a while ago is a bit a sad psalm, because it asks a question, how long? If you could turn your Bibles again in Psalm 13. David, this is a psalm of David. And David has been asking this question, how long? Three times. Four times, that is, in this psalm. But I just want to, I want you to focus on verse 5, which says, "But I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me." Let me just pray as we dive into God's word. Gracious Lord and merciful Father, you are sovereign. You are good. And we thank you, dear Lord, that we can freely open your word, freely gather, freely sing, and freely feast upon your word. Grant us today, dear Father, wisdom and understanding, that we may not be hearers of your word, but doers as well, dear Lord. Forgive us for the many things that we have failed to do. And even, dear Father, just open our hearts today, that we would be receptive on your word, and that it would be seen in our lives. Use your servant mightily today, dear Father. Just use him as your mouthpiece and hide him behind your cross, that you will be seen, not him. And as we ponder upon this word, dear Father, to your word, we would come out from this hall blessed and be encouraged, because you are always there. This we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Psalm 13 is a psalm of David, and many scholars believe this was written by David when he was chased by Saul. For 7 years, he was chased by Saul. Have you ever experienced to be chased by someone because of something that you have done, or anything that you have been hiding from for many years? And you might ask the question, how long? How long will I hide from all these things? And some scholars said that this is a cry to God from a soul who has nowhere to turn to but to God. Charles Spurgeon called this psalm as a how long psalm. And we have read and focused on verse 5, where David said the words, "I have trusted in your mercy." In the original, it is some other translation used the word steadfast love. But in the original, that word is the word chesed, or chesed. Now, that is translated as steadfast love, and it is mentioned at least 250 times in the Bible. Now, our English dictionary, or whatever dictionary, is trying to give a meaning to that Hebrew word that cannot really get the real meaning of it, because it has a deep meaning of its word alone. You know, the book of Ruth is a rich study of the word chesed. You see, Ruth is a Moabite. But because of God's mercy brought into God's fold, and because of her obedience and the grace of God in her life, became one of the lineage of our Lord Jesus Christ, even King David. That's chesed. Again, this word, English translation render it its meaning as mercy, unfailing love, loving kindness, and faithful love. All these are correct. For God is love, and God is mercy. God's love is unfailing. It is God's holy and completely undeserved love and mercy for all people, for all sinners, for you and for me. That's chesed. And that's why some people ask, so, why would he care about all of us? Because he's chesed. Because God is love. because God loves, because God is mercy. And other people think, so if God is love, if God is chesed, then bad things shouldn't happen to me. Psalm 73 is a psalm of Asaph, where he asked the Lord, Lord, why does the righteous suffer and the wicked prosper? Aren't we also asking that question every day? I mean, we ask that question because, Lord, I'm serving you, right? I'm giving to you. I'm doing all this for you. But why, Lord? Why? And still remains the question, how long? You know, but if we try to look at it, because this is a sinful world and we are sinful people, that's why bad things still do happen. And David was in anguish, and often so are we. We might be here at church right now giving that smile or being just there, but deep inside, there's that question, just the same as David. Lord, how long? I've been sick, Lord, how long? I have a problem with my family, Lord, how long? I have a problem with the work, Lord, how long? I'm still looking for a job, Lord. Lord, how long? And that might be your question as well. As David was in anguish, often so are we. But brothers and sisters in the Lord, let me just remind us today that God's love will never fail, even in difficult life circumstances. It will never fail. So that's why this morning, we will learn three areas of David's life where we see God's unfailing love on display. And we might be able to relate to David, or we might not. Or we might see ourselves that, of course, of David. But let's learn of this. I mean, do you ever feel like that in your life and in your circumstance right now that you're walking through, and you're asking the Lord, when is it gonna stop? Lord, when is this feeling, this deep anguish, this deep agony that I'm feeling right now, when is it gonna stop? When, Lord? Like, I thought I'm a believer. Like, I thought I'm a Christian. Like, I thought you love me and all these things are happening. Now, if we look around this world, we see evil and injustice, or just to say how long, when is it gonna stop? We get weary. Aren't you getting weary? Aren't you getting, like, I'm tired of this. I'm sick of this. You get weary in a sin-sick world, and again, ask the question, how long? This is what Charles Spurgeon said. When he meditated on Psalm 13, he said these words. This is what he called, ruminating upon trouble is bitter work. There are certain things that it's better to swallow than to chew. And that what David is going here, he's chewing when he should be swallowing. We too, we might be swallowing rather than chewing. We're trying to chew things that aren't supposed to be. Then when you add to that the sound of my enemy seeking to triumph over me, just like what David said, it is like pouring vinegar to an open wound. And they are laughing, the enemies are laughing, and their laugh gets louder and louder, and you ask the Lord, Lord, how long? How long is it gonna continue? That's why this morning, we titled the message today, The Steadfast Love of the Lord. Three life lessons from David's life that we can learn. First, let's look at David's condition. If you look at your Bibles, you read verses 1 and 2. He says these words, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, have sorrow in my heart daily? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? If we look at his condition, the first thing that we see is that David is in trouble. Of course, he's in trouble. He's running for his life. For 7 years, he have been running from Saul. and from Saul's army. You've been going from cave to cave. Have you tried transferring from one house to another, like in just short time? Is it fun? It's not. David was running from town to town, from cave to cave, because Saul was trying to kill him. He even experienced that with his own son, Absalom. When Absalom was revolting against his own father, he was also running from Absalom. Not only David is in trouble, the second condition that we can see here in David is that he has been in that situation for a very long time. You could see the words, how long? How long? Four times. Just by reading it, we would know that he has been in that situation for a very long time. Look at Psalm 10, verse 1. He said these words, "Why standest thou afar, far off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble?" Psalm 6, verse 3, "But thou, O Lord, how long?" Psalm 35, verse 17, "Lord, how long wilt thou look on? Rescue my soul from their destruction, my darling from the lions." Psalm 89, verses 46 and 47, "How long, Lord, wilt thou hide thyself forever? Shall thy wrath burn like fire? Remember how short my time is." So as we read through those psalms, we could definitely say that David is not only in trouble, but he is also in that situation for a very long time. You might be in that situation right now. 2024 has passed, now 2025, you said, hooray, new year. But then the problem is still there. And you are still in that situation and still asking the Lord in the first month of the year, "Lord, how long? When is 2025 ending? I'm still suffering. How long?" Not only that, he's in trouble. He has been in that situation for a very long time. Third, now he thinks God has forgotten him already. Look at his words. "How long will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me?" Have you ever experienced that God seems to be distant? And God seems not to see your condition or our situation? It's like God is not there. It's like God is invisible, or you are invisible to God. It's like God is not seeing your condition or our condition, and it's just nothing. No, relating to King David, is that your condition, or is that the condition of your heart today? Have you been asking the question, the same question that David was asking God, how long? Now, if we look around us, we may never see the answer, for sure, because we are living in a very sinful world. And if we try to look at God, who he is and what he has done for us, we might have a different perspective looking at our situation. Yes, it might be bleak, but we know our God is always faithful. On the other hand, we may not have the answer that we expected, but I assure you, the word of the Lord assures us that he sees and knows whatever situation we are going through. It might not be what we're praying for, but for sure, God knows our situation. Let me tell you a story of a pastor who went to Iran. This is a true story of a pastor who had been serving the Lord. There's a book, of course, printed by Voice of the Martyrs, that he gave his testimony. He went to Iran doing ministry. He loved the ministry. By the way, Iran is the fastest growing Christian nation in the whole world today. That's why let's pray for Iran. He was there preaching the gospel, sharing the gospel from house to house. And one day he's about to leave. He was there riding a bus off out of the country. He was on the border giving his passport. Of course, you need to show your passport so that they can stamp their passport. But all of a sudden, they didn't give his passport back. So the driver asked, "Oh, are you coming?" And he said, "Yes, we're coming, but our passport." And they said, the driver said, "Oh, we can't wait for you any longer." So the bus went out and they were stuck there. And all of a sudden, police came and just brought them to a hall and said, "Oh, there's a problem with your passport. Can you come with me?" So they went with them without any explanation, without any question. All of a sudden, he found himself in jail and said, "Oh, surely there's something wrong." And all of a sudden, he found out after a day or two that he has two life death sentences. One is espionage. Second is preaching the gospel because it's a Muslim country. And it's like, and he was saying, "Oh, maybe no, God is faithful. God will get me out here soon, very soon." He was in solitary confinement. He was enjoying his time, and the guards were giving him tea, and they would give him sugar cubes. And he said, "No, I like my tea black." So he played with the sugar cubes, when the guards would pass him, the guards think that he was crazy because he was playing with the sugar cubes. What can you do in solitary confinement? A week later, he said he was still longing for God. 2 weeks on solitary confinement, depression came in. A faithful pastor, a faithful evangelist, someone who serves the Lord now questioning God. "Lord, why? I have served you. I went here to preach your word. Why? I can do more if I'm out, but Lord, why? I'm in solitary confinement. Why, Lord?" He has been going through that pain for almost a week and been asking the Lord why. You know, brothers and sisters in the Lord, you might be a mature Christian right now. You might think that you know the Lord more. But in that kind of situation where your faith will be tested and where your trust in the Lord will be tested, for sure, we might succumb to that question. "Lord, why? Why, Lord?" Make the long story short, praise God, after a week, he came to his senses. And that day, he repented. He asked forgiveness to the Lord for asking the question. He asked forgiveness because he saw God's faithfulness in the past. He said, "You will be faithful today. And as your word said, you will be faithful tomorrow." So every time, because he was also tortured, every time he was put in the torture chamber, he was smiling already. Like, if you were a torturer, can you torture someone smiling at you? And he was like talking to the torturer. He was telling him, "Can you at least tell me your name? That if ever I die, at least I know your name." And for weeks, he'd been tortured. And suddenly, after 5 weeks, the torturer talked to him. The next week, change of guards. The torturer was expelled because he was talking to the person. 9 weeks after he was released in prison, he was able to tell that story. Why am I telling you this? You know, God's love shined amidst the darkest of experiences in our lives. As he came back to his senses, that pastor, he trusted the Lord for his circumstance. So can we. I don't know your situation right now. I don't know what you're feeling right now. I don't know your health problem, your health issue. I don't know your family problem, your family issue. But all I know is this. If you are in that dark and challenging situation, all I can tell you is this. God sees and God knows. It might not be the same thing that we are expecting, because it will take toll on your health. It will surely take toll on your health. It may seem that you're okay. No, all of a sudden you will lose weight. All of a sudden you will rush yourself to the hospital because you're thinking you have hypertension, but it's all because of stress. It's all because you're feeling the heavy of the problem. That's why. No wonder Jesus said in the gospel, "All you are weak and heavy laden, if you are tired, come unto me Take my yoke upon you, for my burden is easy. And my burden is light and my yoke is easy. The Lord said that. It's just that we ruminate in that. We're chewing instead of swallowing. Instead of releasing it to God, the more we squeeze it, the more we hold on tight on it, we just need to release it. Give it to the Lord. That's David's situation. Second, not only we see David's condition, but after his condition, we see David's call to God. Verses 3 and 4, look at your Bibles. He said those words, "Consider and answer me, O Lord, my God. Enlighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my enemies say I have prevailed against him, lest those who troubled me rejoice when I am moved." We see two things that he called upon God. First is this, look on me and answer me. He asked God to consider his request, asking him, please, Lord, look at me. Just look at me. Look at my situation right now. You know, David can make no demands. Of course, we cannot demand to God. He's God. And we see he seemed to be in a very desperate situation. Maybe you are in right now. You are facing the new year, but you are still in a deep situation, desperate situation where you're asking the Lord, Lord, look at me. Please look at me. Can you not look at my situation, what I'm experiencing right now? The second call to God was this, Lord, give me light to my eyes. Let my eyes see and understand what you're doing so that I may know that you're still doing what is good for me. You know, we always hear these words when we're in that situation. You know, God is good. God, you may experience that, but God wanted it for good. But to a person who's in deep trouble, in deep problems, we could not see it. That's why David is asking God, Lord, light my eyes so that I can see, I can understand, because I do not understand. David was asking, Lord, show me why. David also thought that he was already, it's already the end of the line. He was thinking that even his enemies rejoicing over his defeat. You know, one of the reasons we wrestle with maturity of our faith, it has something to do on how we react when we face hardship. Have you experienced this? When somebody would question you with something, we respond in a very angry way. We respond in a very high pitch, high tone, trying to defend ourselves. And most of the time, that's how we react in difficult situations. When hardship comes, of course, we don't embrace it. Who among us pray, Lord, give me hardship? Do you pray that? Like when you come to prayer meeting, Lord, give me trouble, please. Not right? There's this song by a Christian singer. His name is Gary Vee. The song was, "Take me out in the dark, my Lord. I don't want to be there." Is that your song too? Take me out in the dark, my Lord. I don't want to be there. But when we read Psalm 23, when David said, "Though I walk in the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? David did not say, "Lord, take me out of this dark valley." No, David said, "I'm walking through this valley, Lord, but I know you are there." That's what David is saying. If we try to examine our prayer, that's always our prayer. When we go through problems, Lord, get me out of this. I don't want anything like this. We don't want to be inconvenient. Have you tried lining up to a store, buying something? We're impatient. And even if we're praying for patience to the Lord, we're praying, Lord, I need patience and I need it now. We're really impatient. We can't wait. That's how we respond to hardship in life. Instead of crying out to God, we often turn our backs because we are hurt, we are disappointed, and then in return, we try to medicate that pain through buying and acquiring stuff that we don't need. Maybe food, anything that can maybe just heal it. James chapter 1 verses 2 to 4. There's no time to read that, but that clearly says, "Brethren, count it all joy when you enter into diverse situation or temptation." What is the result according to verse 4? Maturity. Spiritual maturity. Is that what that's what we're always praying, right? If somebody would ask you, what's your prayer request, brother or sister? The cliche would always say, spiritual maturity. But when problem comes, we don't want it. But according to the Bible, the only way for us to attain it is that when we go through hardship and we come forth as gold. Charles Swindoll called this a wonderful lesson God teaches us if our proud hearts are willing to melt in the furnace of affliction. Imagining yourself, you are in that crucible. You are put in a very hot furnace to be melted and to be shaped into a wonderful person that God wants you to be. Alistair Begg said this, God's care for his children is like the sun. It is constant. Even though the clouds obscure it, it doesn't mean the sun isn't there. The sun is still there. And the sun will surely shine soon. There's a tongue twister. But for sure, the sun is still there. And God is still there. The third David's life that we can see here is not only his David's condition, David's call to God, but the third is David's comfort and conclusion. After all the complaints, after all the call of look at me, give me light to my eyes so that I can understand, he responded with verse 5 and verse 6. He said these words, "But I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he had dealt bountifully with me." All the complaints, all the questions, this is the result. First, he said, "But I trust in your steadfast love." You know, in the original, this was emphatic. After all the complaints, after all the wailings, and after all the question, this is emphatic, "But, Lord, I trust in you." This is David's willful choice to rely on God's love. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, it needs a deep, willful choice to trust God. Sometimes we just give in to problems. Sometimes we give in to whatever situation we are in. That's why it needs for us to choose God rather than choose that kind of situation where we just go to bed and just sleep it out and try to hope tomorrow it will be different, but it won't. You know, David said he trusted the Lord's mercy or unfailing love. The sorrow, the frustration, the despair that filled David's heart has been replaced with God's salvation. That is why we always tell to people who doesn't know the Lord, you know, if you're tired of walking this life, trying to be someone that you are not, and God said, you know, Matthew 11 was a call for salvation. It was Jesus' call, it's God's call for those who are tired to run their life on their own. Now try the Lord. If you went to the world, you said you have everything, you have experienced everything, you don't need God, and all of a sudden you realize nothing satisfies you, try the Lord, because he can satisfy. not only emphatically David chose to trust or rely on God's love, but it resulted to him praising the Lord. Look at the next verse, verse 6. He said this, "But I will sing to the Lord because he had dealt bountifully with me." I told you a story of a woman whose name is Helen Barami. She was incarcerated in Eritrea. If you don't know Eritrea, Eritrea is the North Korea of Africa. Communist country who were hoping to be different with Somalia, but after they've been independent, they became worse. Now, Christians are being kept in a container van. It's a shipping container van where it is very hot in the morning and very cold in the evening. And she was kept there for many years because of being a believer. And there were days that she would be violated. And the only way that she would do is just sing a hymn. That's why he was able to write a book called The Song of the Nightingale. She was released after almost 2 years. And now is going through church to church, sharing her testimony and saying there are still pastors still imprisoned there in Eritrea for 25 years. So if you're feeling the heaviness of your problem right now, tell it to that pastor who's imprisoned there for 25 years. I know you would say, this is incomparable with what they're going through. You know, David suddenly changed his attitude from complaining now to singing. The same man that was saying, how long do I need to go through this trial? The same man who was pleading to God for help, look at me, Lord, look at my situation, has been suddenly transformed into a man that's full of joy and singing. It is important to note that David has not received the answer here. We can read according to the verses. He hasn't seen the answer yet. But he is able to sing joyfully to the Lord. You know, after David was pouring his heart out to the Lord, no wonder Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7 is there to remind us daily. What is Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7? Be careful for nothing, or do not be anxious about anything, but by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And what is the result according to verse 7? And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. That's the focus. Because if we lose sight of that focus, we see the world around us that's chaotic and very sinful, we will lose our way. Let me just conclude this message today. You know, most of us can identify with the emotions of David in this song. Who in here can say, no, I haven't been in any problem? You know, we too sigh in frustration and disappointment and wonder how long will we have to wait for good health, for a job that we've been praying for salvation of loved ones that we have prayed for years after years, for a reconciliation with our family members or our loved ones. But you know what? May we always remember that the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercy is new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. You know, Psalm 13, verses 1 to 6 remind us to learn to lean onto the steadfast love of God through our struggles. We need to bring our emotions underneath the jurisdiction of God's character and God's purposes. The feelings of our heart are real. But we must apply our mind in that matter, so that by renewing of our mind, we will know that God is always there. Leaving you three lessons to bring with us. Number one, we can always cast our emotions to the Lord. Our emotions are real. It is real. No wonder the Bible says, casting all our cares for Him to Him because He cares for you. Cast today, brother or sister. God is listening. Second, we can be confident that God will never leave us nor forsake us, no matter the situation, no matter the circumstance, no matter the problem, God will never leave us. And third, whatever circumstance or course of life we're going through right now, let us remind ourselves it is only but for a moment. 1 Corinthians 4:17 says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Be excited of that. Whatever you're going through right now, it is nothing compared to what God has prepared for you and me. Let's close in prayer. Merciful Father and loving Lord, we praise you for your great love. Forgive us, Father, if we wallow in our pains. We complain so much there, Father. Forgive us if we don't see your hand that's working, because we only see our problem. Forgive us, Father, that we hold on it too much and not letting go and letting you help us with that. Lord, I pray that if someone right now struggling with that, I pray that you touch that heart. I pray that you talk to that heart today and tell that heart, yes, the struggle is real. Yes, the problem may be big, but you are bigger, Lord. You are greater than all our cares in this world. There might be someone here still who doesn't have that right relationship with you. Talk to that heart today, dear Father, that that person will know that you are the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through you. And that they may experience your peace, your joy. That even though we experience tribulation, we experience problem in this life, but our heart is peaceful. Our heart is joyful. That's all because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Break us, dear Father. Break us. And renew our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen.